So today we begin our 2025 week of prayer. The elders here at Grace are calling us as a church to devote ourselves especially to prayer, starting today, going through next Saturday, to devote ourselves to prayer. So we want to pray especially for things like the Holy Spirit to be poured out even more upon us individually and as a church. I want to pray for that. We want to pray for every church that names the name of Jesus and that teaches the Bible, every church here in Abu Dhabi and in the UAE, to be strengthened even more and revived even more. We want to pray for this city, that through our loving and bold witness, that our city will be filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ and that we will see many come to faith this next year. We want to pray for more churches to be planted in this city and in this country and in this region. And in all of this, we want to see our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, loved more and worshiped more and praised and honored more, all to the glory of God the Father. Those are the kind of things we are going to be devoting ourselves to praying about this week. So that raises a question, where do you find extra time to pray? We are all very busy people. We want to carve out extra time. Where are you going to find that extra time to carve out? And I would encourage you to ask the Lord about that. We all have areas in our schedules, I'm sure, that we could say no to for the sake of being able to pray more. And ask the Lord to show you what those are. Because we want to respond and say, Lord, we want to give ourselves as much as we can this week to prayer. A couple of details to encourage us. Every morning this week, either somebody from the staff or somebody, one of the elders, will be posting an encouraging 1 minute video, just give you fresh impetus, fresh motivation, fresh vision for what prayer is, so that as we pray tomorrow and then Monday and then Tuesday and then Wednesday and then Thursday, fresh encouragement, fresh motivation be given through that. And you want to be on the Grace Church WhatsApp announcement group, WhatsApp group, in order to get those videos. So be sure to get on that. Also, we're inviting each of you, as Joe said, to submit your personal prayer requests, just like Joe described. If you're not on the way to do that, then look at the email from this last week. Look at today's WhatsApp announcement group. You can just send a mail to mail@gracechurchabudhabi.com and find out how you can submit that. We'll be sending it out, just like Joe said, tomorrow morning. We want to be laboring in prayer for these very specific and personal needs that we as a body have. We're going to be praying for the big picture church planting and harvest and for God to pour Spirit out upon us. And then we want to pray for individual specific needs, asking God to work. And when you see Him respond and work in one of those areas of need, send an email to the church so we can celebrate that together. Also, we're encouraging all of our groups, neighborhood groups, men's, women's, to be focusing the time together on prayer. And then tomorrow we're having a day of prayer and fasting together. Not everybody's able to fast, but if you are able to fast, let me call you to fast tomorrow. Skip breakfast, skip lunch, devote as much time as you can to prayer, lifting up these requests before the Lord. By the way, there's these guys back at the back, Prayer Week 2025, lots of different colors, okay? I picked blue, but this will give you items to pray for each day. So, and also some suggestions on how to pray. So pick these up. It's also online. So if you're able to pray and fast, if you're able to fast, join us in fasting and prayer tomorrow. We're going to fast through the day, and then we're going to gather 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and from 4 to 5:30, we will continue to fast and pray together in person. And then at 5:30, we're going to break and celebrate the day with a potluck meal together. It's going to be a wonderful time. Now, if you, first of all the information about where, what kind of food each person can bring, all that kind of stuff, we sent that out this last week by email. It's been in the announcements list. Send an email to mail@gracechurchabudhabi. If you have no clue where to find those things, we'll help you. We want you all to know exactly what's going on. But if you can't fast, join us anyway. Pray as much as you can during the day. Come at 4 o'clock. Pray through 5:30. Join us for the meal afterwards. Bring some food to share. It's going to be an amazing time. We want to come together, just like what happens with Ezra in Ezra 21 through 23. We're going to be learning more about that. Those are all the details I wanted to go over about Prayer Week. And now to prepare us for this week, I want us to study Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. Because in these verses, Ezra helps us answer three crucial questions about prayer. First question, why pray with fasting? Why should we fast? Second, how should we pray? And then third, why should we pray? So, why should we fast? How should we pray? And then why should we pray? Three crucial questions. Now, here's the setting for this passage. Here's what's going on. For years and years, Israel has been turning their back on God, the true God, the glorious, holy God, and have been pursuing worship of horrible idols with terrible practices. And God had warned Israel repeatedly, if you don't turn back to me, if you don't turn away from those idols and turn back to me, I'm going to bring Babylon, and Babylon will destroy Jerusalem, and Babylon will tear down the temple. And Babylon will take all of you back captives to Babylon. I will do that. But after 70 years in Babylon, I will bring you back to Jerusalem. Well, Israel did not pay heed to that warning. Israel continued turning their back on God and bowing down to these horrifying idols. And God did just what he said. 586 BC, Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, tore down the temple, and took Israelites captive back to Babylon, just as God had said. Then after 70 years, just as God had promised, he brought a first group back from Babylon to Jerusalem. Then a few years later, he raised up Ezra. We'll be talking about this situation, to bring a second group of Israelites back from Babylon to Jerusalem. And then a few years later, he raised up Nehemiah to bring the third group back. Now, we're focusing on what happens with Ezra and this second group. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra knew that the journey from Babylon back to Jerusalem was long and dangerous. Bloodthirsty robbers, murderers lived along the road, the travel way, precisely so that they could kill, steal, harm travelers on the way. Ezra knew this was what was going to be happening. And so he called the people to fast and pray together and to seek from God a safe journey. That's what's happening in this passage. And these verses, like I said, help us answer three crucial questions. The first is this. Why should we fast? What a strange idea. I get hungry. Why fast? And I would guess that some of you maybe have never fasted and prayed. And others of you maybe have fasted and prayed, but you really haven't been clear about why. Why are we doing this? And in verse 21, we see two reasons why it's good to fast. Two reasons why we should fast. Let's read verse 21. Look at what Ezra tells us. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, and here's the first reason, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. So one reason we fast is because fasting humbles us. It humbles us before God. See if this makes sense. We are all tempted in our pride to think that we are self-reliant, to think that we are in control, to think that we are savvy, to think that we got this. Aren't we all? But the truth is, we are never in control. I mean, think about it. We are not in control. We need God for everything. I mean, that next heartbeat, a gift from God for you. We need God for everything. But our sin can blind us to that. Our pride can make us think we are self-reliant, in control, savvy, got it all together. And when we're feeling that in our hearts, it's hard to pray, right? It's hard to pray when you're proud. It's easy to pray when you're humble and in need. But fasting can help. Here's how. It can make us feel our neediness. It's obvious, right? Take food away from us for a few hours, we fall apart. We feel weak, needy. And in that way, fasting simply reminds us of what is true of us far more than we're aware. We are weak and needy. We need God for everything. And this will humble ourselves before God. Oh, Lord, look at how weak I am. I'm weaker than I even know. I need you for everything. And it'll help us be humble and to pray. Think about it like this. Bowing down before the Lord, literally, physically, when you're like you're praying and you bow down, that can help you feel God's awesomeness, and it can help you express how in awe of God you are when you bow down. It can help you feel it, and it can help you express it. Fasting does the same thing. It can help you feel your, I'm needy. Look at how needy I am. I fall apart. Take a little bit of food away, I fall apart. I'm so needy, and it can help you express that. Because we can pray and say something like, Lord, this is how needy I am. This is how weak I am. This is how much I need you. I'm longing for these requests. I'm willing to stop eating because I'm longing for these things. Lord, I'm needy. I'm in need of you. Help me. And so fasting can help us feel and express the true state of who we are, namely weak, needy people. So fasting humbles us before God. There's a second reason in this verse, verse 21. Let's read the verse again. Verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God. Here it is, to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. The second reason is because fasting helps us seek requests from God. It helps us do that. They were heading on a long, dangerous trip. And Ezra, they all knew, we need to seek protection from God. We need safety from God. We need help from God, our defender. And fasting would help them seek this safe journey from God. How? It's because as God sees us, fasting and humbling ourselves before him, feeling our neediness, expressing our neediness to him, when he sees a people doing that, that powerfully stirs his heart. Oh, stirs his heart. I need to be careful. I don't want to overstate this. Okay, so let me, a little bit of fine print here. When you cry out to God by yourself without fasting, that powerfully moves God's heart. You're trusting Jesus, you're forgiven through him, you come to him, you cry out to him in prayer, his heart is stirred. He loves you. He cares about you. He delights in having you bring your concerns before him. So when you pray without any fasting, that powerfully moves God's heart. Let's say like 80 megatons of heart-moving power it gives to God, okay? Bear with me here. 80 megatons. You got, okay, now. But God says that fasting adds heart-stirring power to your prayer. Maybe another 20 megatons. Okay, so my point is, you got lots of heart-stirring power when you pray all by yourself without fasting. Don't stop doing that. But fasting can be important. It adds even more heart-stirring power. That's what God has said. That's what makes prayer with fasting significant. Now, some questions might flow out of that in your mind. Well, maybe we should just pray with fasting all the time. Is that what we should do? And the answer to that is no. It's not what Jesus calls us to do. We can't do that, right? We got other things we got to do. But it is good and it is important to fast with prayer. As you look at what happens with godly men and women in the Bible, they tend to fast when there's especially urgent and weighty concerns that they have. That's a good rule of thumb. Especially fast and pray when you're facing weighty and urgent requests, like the kinds of things we're asking God to do, like pour out your spirit upon this city, Lord. Bring salvation here. Push back the powers of darkness here. These are big, weighty. It's good to fast for those. Let me also point out, though, that fasting does not earn anything from God. It doesn't. If we think tomorrow while we're fasting and praying that we're earning something from God, we, Grace Church, will receive nothing from God. We can't do anything to put God in our debt. We can't do anything to earn or deserve things from God. The only reason our prayers do stir God's heart is because Jesus has paid for all our sins on the cross. And because we are clothed with Jesus' perfect righteousness, which covers our remaining sinfulness. It's because of Jesus, the forgiveness we have in him, the righteousness we have with him. It's because of Jesus that God smiles whenever we pray, whenever we come to him. And our prayers stir his heart and he responds and he answers. We're not earning anything. It's his mercy. It's his grace. He gets the glory. We get the mercy. So please, let's just banish from our thoughts any idea that what we're doing this week is earning things from God. Quite the contrary. It's mercy, mercy, mercy purchased through the cross every day this week, every time we pray. Let's keep that in mind. Tomorrow's fasting earns nothing from God, but by God's grace, through Jesus, it will stir God's heart to respond. So we've asked this first question, why do we fast? Two answers. Fasting humbles us before God, and it helps us seek requests from God. Now, this passage also helps us answer a second question. How should we pray? And I found two answers in these verses. One, I notice that we should come together to pray. Look at verse 21 and notice the words we and our. Verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. And then verse 23, same. So we fasted and implored our God for this, and he listened to our entreaty. What this means is that they gathered together, physically together, to pray. And this week, we're going to pray together tomorrow with fasting, and we'll be praying together at other times as we gather together to pray without fasting. Praying together especially stirs God's heart. We see that throughout the scriptures. Throughout the scriptures, when God's people gather together to pray, powerful answers come. Now, again, let me not overstate that. When you pray all by yourself, your prayer powerfully moves God, stirs God's heart. You get that? So don't stop praying by yourself. 80 megatons comes from when you're praying all by yourself. But God's word clearly shows that praying with God's people stirs his heart more, maybe another 20 megatons for that. God has chosen to have our prayers stir his heart when we pray alone, and even more when we gather together. So it's helpful, it's important to pray together. So we should come together to pray. Now, one more question about that. What if you think, I'm fine praying by myself, but I just am really uncomfortable with the thought of praying with other people. I'm going to stumble and stutter, and I'm sure some of us are thinking that question. How about that? I get it. But understand, praying with other people is not about flowery, eloquent prayers. It's like, God, meet us as a church. There's nothing flowery or eloquent about that. Pour out your spirit upon us. We need you. We can all do that. So I would encourage you to take baby steps. Okay, if you just like, I can't meet with other people to pray, take some baby steps. Join us tomorrow, and you can just be in one of the circles. We'll have circles, and you can just pray silently along with us as we're praying. You don't need to pray out loud at all. But you being there, praying silently while others are praying, will be a beautiful gift from God, and your prayers will help us lift up our prayers as sweet incense, sweet aroma before the Lord. You being there will make a difference. And who knows, maybe while you're there, you'll maybe pray a short prayer. Take a baby step. And that wasn't so hard. Because it's important to grow in this. Praying together with other believers is something that we all need to grow in. So take some steps. Take some steps in that. It's vital to pray together. Okay, so we should come together to pray. But then we also see in this verse that we should seek requests from God when we pray. We should seek requests from God. Again, look at verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God. And here it is, to seek from him a safe journey. That's what they're doing as they come together to pray. They're coming to seek certain things from God. Safe journey. You can see that in verse 23 also. So we fasted and implored our God for this. We're imploring. We're pleading. We're saying, Father, a safe journey. Keep us safe. We ask you. We need your help. Give us a safe journey. Defend us. They're seeking requests from God. Now, I want to emphasize this. You might think, well, that's obvious, and I'm glad you do. It is obvious, but I've met people who have said something like, I'm not comfortable asking God for anything. That feels too proud to me if I come and ask God for things. Doesn't the Bible say, you know, God helps those who help themselves? Well, you know, God, the Bible doesn't say that. Okay, let's just be clear. The Bible never says that. That's not in the Bible. But God does help those who pray. But people think, well, it feels proud to think I'm asking, I mean, who am I to ask God for anything? Well, it's a good question. But understand verse 21. They were humbling themselves by fasting. So they're in a humble, needy mode. And what do they do when they're humble and needy? They ask God for help. So you can also say, the more humble we are, the more we'll ask God for help. Humble people ask God. Proud people don't ask God. So let's be humble people. And let's ask God. We should seek requests from God. At other times, we can wonder, why should we seek things from God when God's going to do what he's going to do anyway? What difference are my prayers going to make? God's sovereign over everything. He has his plan. He's going to do what he's going to do. But think about Ezra here. Ezra knew that God had promised in 70 years, I'm going to bring Israel back to Jerusalem. I'm going to bring Israel back from Babylon to Jerusalem. Okay? Safe journey. I'm going to bring them back. They're not going to come back and get killed all the way. They're going to come back. He's promised that. So why did Ezra pray? Why would he gather all of God's people to pray that God would do what he had promised he was going to do? It's because Ezra knew that God has chosen to do his work through our prayers. Through our prayers. God has chosen to have our prayers, because of Jesus, he has our prayers move his heart to do the things he's ordained to do. God has chosen to have our prayers move his heart to do the things he's promised to do. For lots of reasons for that. It humbles us. It encourages us when we see God working in response to our prayer. It glorifies him as a beautiful prayer-hearing God. It's fantastic that he answers prayer. And so that's why God has ordained, through Jesus, because of the cross, to let our prayers move his heart to do the things he's ordained to do, which makes our prayers essential. Do you hear that? Nobody say, well, God's going to do what he can do anyway. I'm not going to pray. That's not how it works. God works through our prayers. Two scriptures to back that up. One we saw last week, James chapter 4, verse 2. Here's what James writes. Astonishing statement. You do not have because you do not ask. So don't ever say, why should I pray? God's going to do what he's going to do anyway. No, James says, you do not have because you do not ask. Prayers make a massive difference. God has chosen to work through our prayers. So pray, and God will be working through those prayers. Second scripture, James chapter 5, verse 16. James is really strong on prayer. Look at this verse. The prayer of a righteous person. Okay, let's stop right there. Some of you are thinking, well, that rules me out. Okay? And I get it, but understand, righteous does not mean sinless. No one is sinless. What does righteous mean in the scriptures? It means someone who is trusting Jesus. Someone who's trusting Jesus, and because they're trusting Jesus, his death on the cross has forgiven them for all their sins. They are completely forgiven for every sin, past, present, and future, already forgiven. And they are clothed with Jesus' perfect righteousness, which covers their remaining sinfulness. And God sees you in Christ, forgiven and clothed with righteousness, and you're righteous. Okay, so if you are trusting Jesus right now, which by the way, that includes confessing sin, battling sin, not clinging to sin. So if you're trusting Jesus, you are righteous. And this verse describes you. Okay? So it's a lot. If you're trusting Jesus, you are righteous. And here's what James says about you and your prayer. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. What about those times where, you know, you're praying and it just feels, I'm just feeling so completely unspiritual and so far from God, you know, it's like, I should just try again tomorrow. No. It doesn't say anything about how close to God you're feeling here or how strong you feel like your faith is. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. So your prayer is going to have great power tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow's Sunday. Monday, I think this means your prayer is going to have great power on Monday. Is that what that means? Yes, that's what it means. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and just keep on going through 2025 all the way to glory. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. Wait, is he saying great power, he said? Great power, there it is. Has great power. Your prayer, because of Christ and God's mercy, has great power as it's working. You're praying for your neighbor to come to salvation. You're praying for wayward kids. You're praying for this person who needs a job. You're praying for healing for this person. You're praying for laws to change so churches can meet in more places. Your prayer, righteous person, through blood-bought salvation purchased on the cross, your prayer, righteous person, has great power as it's working. Grace Church, do we hear this? Your prayer has great power through its working, as it's working. So as we pray this week, it's right and good that we are seeking requests from God. It's right and it's good. It's not proud. It's not arrogant. It's what he calls us to do. Okay. Also, we have a prayer guide. I mentioned that. Okay, don't forget, this will give you all kinds of ways to, things we need powerful prayer about, and you're a righteous person, so pray through this. We need this. Okay. We've asked, why do we fast? And it's because fasting humbles us before God and helps us seek requests before God, helps us seek his requests, heart-moving power with God. And we've asked, how should we pray? We should come together to pray, and we should seek God for requests when we pray. But there's one more question this passage helps us answer, which is so important. Why should we pray? Now, to answer this question, we first got to figure out verse 22. Verse 22 is puzzling. Let's read verse 21 and 22 together, see if you see why verse 22 is so puzzling. Verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. Verse 22, here's why I proclaimed this fast. Here's why I called us to pray. It's because I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all who forsake him. So the reason Ezra calls the people to fast and pray, asking for a safe journey, is because he was ashamed to ask the king for a military escort. Huh? It's very strange. We might think this means that the reason Ezra called everybody to pray was because it would be wrong to ask God for military escort. Just like there's some people who may don't understand the Bible very well, and they feel like, well, if I really have faith, if I'm sick and I really have faith, I won't go to a doctor, I'll just pray. It'd be wrong to go to a doctor, I should just pray, right? That's not true. And in this case, we know it would not have been wrong for Ezra to have asked for military escort because Nehemiah, third group of people, Israelites, coming back from Babylon to Jerusalem, Nehemiah came back with a military escort that the king had provided for him. That was not wrong for Nehemiah to do. So nothing wrong with the military escort. So why didn't Ezra ask for a military escort? Why did he feel ashamed to ask for a military escort? I don't think we can be sure, but I feel like I should give some kind of an answer because you're all going to be wondering, and because it helps us answer the question, why should we pray? Here's my guess. You do your own thinking, studying about this. My guess is that Ezra, well, he explained to him that God takes care of all those who seek him. Ezra, as he was talking to the king, he didn't get a chance to go to point number two, which is very important. Point number two is where maybe Ezra would have said to the king, God protects his people who seek him, and he can either do this by supernatural means or by natural means. You can either do this by supernatural means, just like God protected the people of Israel from Egypt with a fiery pillar. Remember that? Kept the Egyptian soldiers from Israel? The supernatural fiery pillar. God can do that, or God can protect his people with natural means, like when Nehemiah brings a group of people back to Jerusalem with a military escort. Right? God can heal people supernaturally, and God can use doctors. Praise God for supernatural healing, and praise God for doctors, right? Praise God for pillars of fire and smoke to protect, and praise God for military escorts. Do you see that? So here's what I think is going on. I think because Ezra was not able to explain about both supernatural and natural means, that he was afraid that if he would have said, first he says, God protects all those who seek him. Can we have a military escort on the way back? King would have thought, maybe he doesn't believe what he said. Maybe his God doesn't really do what he thinks he does. And so he didn't ask him that. He just said, let's pray. That's my guess. But so what is this passage saying then about why? Why we pray? Why should we pray? Why should we devote a week to prayer? Why should we fast and pray tomorrow? And I think here's the answer that this passage gives. We should pray because God always hears and answers prayer. It's huge. God always hears and answers prayer. Now, I need to mention there's two conditions that are put on that in the scripture. I just want to mention them to you. One is that we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, of course, Ezra was Old Testament before Jesus came, so he didn't pray in Jesus' name. But all the Old Testament godly women and men, when they prayed, they knew that the only reason God could answer their prayer, could hear their prayer with favor, was because of what the Messiah would do. Somehow the Messiah would take care of our sin, just like those animal sacrifices are picturing this. They didn't understand it all, but they knew that that's what was going to happen. And so they knew that because of what the Messiah would do, they could come in what the Messiah would do and have their prayers be accepted. They didn't pray explicitly in Jesus' name, but the same idea. But we now can pray in Jesus' name. Don't let it just be a slogan that you tack on at the end of your prayer, not really knowing what it means. Say the words in Jesus' name, but mean them. Father, we're coming to you in Jesus' name now. Not my own name, not my own worthiness. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, but I'm coming to you in Jesus' name. Forgiven through the blood of the cross, clothed with Jesus' perfect righteousness. And whenever we come to God meaningfully saying, I'm praying in Jesus' name, oh, he smiles. He's running toward us. Tell me what's going on. What do you need? He delights in those prayers. So we need to pray in Jesus' name. We also need to pray in accord with God's will and in submission to God's will. We don't know exactly what God's going to do when we pray. We don't know what he's going to do exactly or when he's going to do something or how he's going to do it. But we do know that God will answer. No prayer goes unanswered. No prayer is wasted. Every prayer is answered. And we do know that what he does will be good. Oh, it will be good because he is God, glorious in his mercy. So we know our prayers make a difference. That's what it means to pray in accord with God's will and in submission to God's will. So we pray in Jesus' name. We pray in accord with God's will, in submission to God's will, and we know that when we pray, God always hears and always answers our prayers, and we see that in this passage. Read verse 23 again. So we fasted and implored our God for this, and what did God do? And he listened to our entreaty. Don't miss this. This is amazing. God listens to your prayers. God, the creator of everything, massive God, glorious, huge God. And he's listening to you. And while he's listening to you, he's also listening to you. I like to say God gives you his full and undivided attention. You and you and you and you, because he's God, he can do that. I mean, he doesn't say, hold, wait just a second. Hold that prayer. Yes, go ahead. Oh, wait. I mean, he's God. His full and undivided attention is given to you as you're praying to him. And Ezra says, he listened to our entreaty. And what did that mean? 8 verses later, verse 31. Look at what you read. There it is. Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. The hand of our God was on us. Beautiful picture. God's hand was on them as they were traveling. God's hand, big old hand, big God's hand protecting. The hand of our God was on us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambushes by the way. That shows us one reason we should pray. Here's why. When we pray in Jesus' name, in accord with and submission to God's will, God always hears. And he always, always answers. Always. That's what we see from Ezra 8, 21 through 23. Three questions. Why should we fast? Fasting humbles us before God, and fasting helps us seek requests from God. And how should we pray? We should come together to pray. Again, some of our prayer this week will be together and some won't be, but we do come together. Do both. Both move God's heart powerfully. We should come together to pray, and we should seek requests from God when we pray. Do that. And then why should we pray? Because when we pray in Jesus' name, in submission to God's will, God always hears and answers our prayer. So here's what this means for us. This week, when you pray that we, Grace Church, will have more boldness and love in our witness, that's according to God's will. That's what God wants. So when you pray this week, Lord, pour out more bold witness upon Grace Church, we will have more bold witness than if you had not prayed. That's what this means. My prayer can do that? Because of how gloriously merciful God is through Jesus? Yes, and so can mine. That's what our prayers can do. What a glorious God. When you pray maybe for marriages at Grace Church to be strengthened, that's right in accord with God's general will. We know that. God strengthened the marriages at Grace Church. Marriages will be more strengthened here in Grace Church than had you not prayed. That's what this means. Or maybe you pray for closed countries in the region where the gospel really can't penetrate, get in very well, and you pray, Lord, open those countries, bring the gospel into those countries. There will be more gospel entering those countries than had you not prayed. This is huge. And as we're praying, crying out to the Lord for more salvations here in Abu Dhabi, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, people we know, people we shop with, Lord, pour out more salvations here. As we do that, that's clearly in accord with God's will. We will see more salvations in Abu Dhabi than had you not prayed. Friends, can you see why the elders are calling us to devote a week to fasting? Well, not a week to fasting, a week to praying, fasting tomorrow and any other time you want to, but tomorrow, as many of us who can together. Can you see why the elders are calling us to devote a week to prayer? Can you see why? The most important thing we can do here in this city, in this country, in this region, is to pray. It's not the only thing we do, but oh, it's one of the most important things we do, is to pray. So, Grace Church, let's this week devote ourselves to prayer. Let's stand. Father, we need your help for everything, anything, and we need your help for prayer this week. We are weak. We get lazy. We get distracted so easily. Lord, we're coming to you and saying, help us to pray. We're praying that you would help us to pray, Lord. Strengthen us. Keep us motivated. Keep us encouraging each other. Don't let us get distracted. Don't let us get discouraged, Lord. Let us keep understanding the importance of prayer. Give us grace to pray. And we ask that you would move with great power as we pray and through our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.